subscribe to Donnie Houston Podcast, man.
Donnie Houston.
Yeah, man, it's going down to the Donnie Houston Podcast. I'm Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a real special guest. I saw him first on the Soldiers United for the Cash documentary, you know what I'm saying, at the end, you know what I mean? Boy pulled out a whole big red, you know what I mean? Just in remembrance of DJ Screw, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's a close relative of DJ Screw, you know what I mean? Spent a lot of personal time with him. And we got him here today, man. Chuck, what's going down, man?
Shit, you know what I'm saying? Same old shit, man. SUC for life, man. Nothing else.
Yeah, already, man. How you feeling, man?
I'm blessed right now.
So like I was saying, man, you know, you're you know, one of DJ Screw's actual relatives, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Talk about just you know, y'all whole relationship, you know what I'm saying, like the family line and all that.
Oh man, it was unbelievable as me and him, his relationship, because I'm a year older than him, and he was like telling me like shit my daddy used to say, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn. It was like when we have conversation, it's just like I just stick with him, you know what I'm saying? And it's right there in my mind to this day. A lot of it I remember, a lot of it I don't, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he was a lot to me, man. You know what I'm saying? After I lost my mother, it was like, you know, few of my family members, but him, it was just different, you know what I'm saying? Because we can relate to each other, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's how our relationship went.
Yeah, talk about, you know, how you even just got acquainted with him, you know what I'm saying, going to, what is a club with Toe or something like that, and you know what I'm saying, y'all having this tape and then you recognizing the music in the club and all that?
Yeah, Toe had gave me a tape. See, Toe, him and Toe was in the same apartment, Square Meadow, so Toe was cool with my partner, Lil Sock and Lil D and them, Lil T. So me and Fila had a spot over there on Ward, so they instantly came over here, man, we gotta listen to this here. So they popped the tape in. I'm like, God damn, where y'all get that from? He was like, man, it's this new DJ, man. I said, man, let me ask you, so you know you can get one, Chuck. So he gave me a tape. Me, Fila, and my other little partner, we ride. I'm talking about this Screw. I'm talking about I never listened to nothing else but this tape. And then we going by the club, we went to the
This tape was slowed down already.
It was already slowed down. So we went to a gas station. We get soda waters and papers and stuff. We hear a song. I'm like, bro, this the same, that same Public Enemy song is playing in this club right now. That's that tape. So they thought I was just tripping. I'm like, bro, that's that tape. So we go back to the car, we listen to it, go back to the door, we go in. You know what I'm saying? Screw Daddy, he seen me. He was like, hey, come here. I'm like, what's up? He was like, that's your cousin right there. I'm like, for real? He was like, yeah. So we listened to it, came in there, we, you know what I'm saying? We met, come back the next night. He was like, kind of music you listen to? What kind of sound you like? Gave me a piece of paper and a pen. I wrote a couple sounds down. We out in the crowd. We playing pool and stuff. He started playing the sound. I'm like, damn, that shit jamming, bro. And then the whole club, I'm talking about just rocking. Then it got to the point to where you couldn't even play pool in the club. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, this music. I'm like, man, that shit jamming. And every night, this went on for years until he stopped doing DJing at that club, and then he went to Boomerang. Then when he went to Boomerang, he brought all the artists. So as us as neighborhood kids, you know what I'm saying, we still young. And they coming in Boomerang, that's loud to us.
But before Boomerang though, because didn't you say, like, you know what I'm saying, when he started making the tapes, he was like, man, let me help you like pass them out or something like
that. Yeah, he did that for me. He always called it a care pack for me. You know what I'm saying? He would give me the tape, but he wouldn't say it about me selling them or not. He just said, man, just give them out. So I give them out. But then he had gave me another batch, and I was like, hey, man, I'm finna sell these. And then before you know it, you had like 50 cars outside. I'm like, he came outside and seen it. He was like, damn, people really like my music. I'm like, yeah, yeah. So it went to that, to where he just doubling up my tapes, and then they started coming over there, but they couldn't go in. That was the thing that I came in at, you know what I'm saying? Like my little partner, we all, they be all outside. He was like, give me 3 tapes. Give me this, give me 10 tapes. Give me this tape. So I like, screw, man, you got about like a bunch of tape. But at this time, he wasn't on the black tape. He was like on the TDK, the mm-hmm, tape, the little clear one.
Clear tape, yeah.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. on now. Then he had knew some people at Stick Hearts in another record store on South Main. That's when he started getting the boxes. And then the dude there had told him about ordering the cases now. So now Sam get them. So that's what he had started doing that. That's in the mix of him first being at Greenstone now. That's when everybody can come through now. But at first you couldn't. He'll just take your list through me. I give it to him. He'll, like if he do a tape for like Frenchie from Western Square, Frenchie Western Square, I'm going to holler at my partner, write a partner name down, screw doing that. Ooh, and nigga was liking it. And nigga was like, man, we need to get to him. But he wasn't seeing people like that at first, until he was just so happy that people fuck with his music like that to his knock on the door. You know what I'm saying? And we just went from there. Now, you know, the like the neighbors, he had about like 3 or 4 neighbors on Greenstone. Well, a couple of them wasn't fortunate to have food and stuff like that. Screw used to buy a piece of school clothes and stuff like that. To let them know, hey man, it ain't nothing but music, you know what I'm saying? Cause all that traffic, I don't even know what you think was in there. Some strippers or something, but you wouldn't think music going on in the house with this much traffic. Everywhere you go, it started like Quail Meadows ain't have no traffic. Broadway, you got the traffic at the end. With Greenstone, I'm talking about Telephone Road, Rivoli. We even made a trail cutting through Gulf Gate movies. You know that movie right there by mm-hmm, Gulf Gate? Mm-hmm. We made a trail through there where we can go through, the cars can get through there.
No shit.
Yeah, other people didn't know about that at first. So after it went on, that's when Tupac dropped Juice, the movie. That's when everybody got the, because we left out the movies, Screw took the trail. So everybody followed him through the trail instead of coming a certain other way. So bam, and when you get down there, ain't no telling how long you had to wait to get to the street. You could be about like 4 streets down. Some people get out the car and walk and wait till they ride, get close to the school house. And then that was just some traffic on just some music. You know what I'm saying? And that was live for people because we not on the streets no more. We wasn't on the corners. A lot of people was getting in trouble. And at the time, people were like, ain't want no trouble on their mind no more. You got another opportunity right now. So everybody took advantage of that.
You said you was over there and you heard Lil Kiki for the first time, like before we had even like really
oh, yeah, got out. Key had brought a tape to Screw. And you know, Screw, I always chug, listen to this. So I was like, damn. He said, that's Kiki and I can do. I say, my partner Kiki and Knockin' Duke? He was like, yeah. I'm like, damn, okay. So after that, yeah, Kiki come through there, we chop it up, they do they dub, sitting back listening. I'm like, yeah, so I'm like, well, they started it until what they was getting at it, and they already knew their future, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't a rapper or nothing, but we had things about me being a rapper, but I was like, I can't rap, Screw. I have to tell the truth. You know, I tell the truth, I ain't gonna be here no more. So he was like,
yeah, cause you said, you know what I'm saying, you was kind of into some trouble, man, and you know, at one point they were saying, you know, hey man, you know, you can't, you know, it ain't a good idea for you to be around Screw, you're a bad influence.
Yeah, that hurted me too, man, because like, you know, I never, you know, did nothing around them or nothing like that to cause drama to none of us or no harm toward us. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to tell everybody. In some form or fashion, man, you have to mind your business. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nobody that's perfect, but I did feel what they told him and how he took it at first. but because that was kind of dangerous, you know what I'm saying? And as I was thinking about it, I was like, well, I'm gonna make a whole complete turn without telling none of them, you know what I'm saying? But as I'm trying to make that turn, it was just, I'm looking at him and he's not screwed no more. I really ain't, you know, I'm like, damn, fam. But
when you say not screw no more, what you mean? Because you were telling me too, like, you know, a lot of people say, like, early on, you know, screw just was regular, just smoking weed, drinking beer regular, you know what I'm saying? And then over time, you know, is that what you mean when you say you want to screw no more?
Yeah.
You mean?
From the weed to the bill to me coming home, it wasn't screw no more. It wasn't screw even before, when I first came home, before the incident happened, he wasn't screw no more. He was to him. He feel like he was cool, and he showed me on different times that if he do something, that don't mean you go make no joke about it. He say, I was doing stuff to see how people would react. So if you look, if you pay attention, if you go look at, listen to 2000 Tears right now, I can tell you how he used to tell me about when I said, like, he said, man, you not doing what you said in them letters. In 2000 Tears, he showed me, because I really thought he was out of it. He like looked at me, I was like, nah, screw, we'll wait tomorrow, man. But it was other people in there that he was doing that for, because it was just me and him in the room. We doing 2000 Tears, then 3-4 more people come. He really didn't want that. He wanted to just meet me and him, just vibe off me getting myself together, you know what I'm saying? Instead of him all the way, he ain't chuck this, chuck that, chuck. It wasn't never nothing good. But like I was telling him, the people don't know me. You know what I'm saying? I don't fool with them like that. And as he got the feeling what I was saying, then he would say, like, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to show you. So like I was telling you about the tape, the 2000 Tears. You listen to that, we check our time, Tupac. That's when he let me know that a certain part I said something on the tape and he didn't agree with it. And at that time, he had told me about that he should have never let people get on the microphone, because that's not only ruining you, it's him also. You know what I'm saying? What you say, somebody else can get mad because you said it. Hmm. You feel me? But you saying that, not screw. You feel me? So he looked at that. So when I said that little part right there,
What part you talking about?
It was on. It was during the song Check Out Time.
Yeah.
All right. It's an incident that happened at a motel room. So when he heard me say, I had said, like, damn, screw, let's go, man. Let's put on our shoes. It's Check Out Time. He stopped it. He stopped up. He said, well, why you say that? I said, damn, screw, we just leaving the room. Just put up a shoe. He like, nah. So now I'm knowing it's getting to him, but then he's still going to back me up because we fam. But he want me to tell him the truth. And I told him the truth, and he accepted it. And then from there, we had nothing else. It wasn't no, he don't want to hear that. Now, this what he did at that time. He come and get me. He coming to the projects, get me. I'm in South London. He pulling up, you know what I'm saying? Nigga like, oh, damn, they gonna screw, that's what's true. Ooh. He ain't leaving, and he chopped it up with people out there. Now, if he was saying, like, if I was doing all this wrong, and all this, why these people ain't saying, ooh, but trying to run him out, you know? They were like, damn, screw, ooh. Screw even one of the couple of the dudes out of South London. This man went made a tape with that man. That man took that to his heart. You know what I'm saying? Took me to screw house, and he made a tape from his name, Tulu, rest in peace, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, man. He was like, he even like had on his mind like doing something else. So I like, cool. So it's like D Gotti, Big Poke, Hacker Joe, Lil Pop, Mr. Sweet, rest in peace to him. Or Big Mello, 3-2, he was all cool before all that. You know what I'm saying? Pow Pow from Cloverland. You know what I'm saying? Me and Mello, we had a good relationship. Him and Scrooge relationship was good also. I used to go on the road with Melo. You know what I'm saying? He had a show one day with Biggie Smalls. But the show had ended up getting canceled because of the little thing they had going on, and somebody said, grabbed the microphone and said, Tupac in the building. And that just, everybody left. But yeah, Big Melo, he was 3-2-2. 3-2, I ain't never in my life let nobody come to my grandma's house. 3-2 used to come pick me a fat pack. You know what I'm saying? It was them days, it was just no more that after like 98. It was just something totally different.
What would you say? What was like the difference you would say between like Sprue like at that time?
To me, he was going on movies. You know, he had got a little deal through some kind of group with through BET, but they had some Sprue some pictures, but it was some like cartoon stuff. Sprue said he didn't want the cartoon stuff, so he had put that on hold, and then he said when he come back from that, he just gonna work on everybody's album. Then he ended up doing that one for Big Mo. That was a big thing for Big Mo. But he said he didn't want no credit for that. He just wanted to see Big Mo happy, because he deserved that, you know what I'm saying? Plus he was jamming, which he was. And you know, that was a big sense to Big Mo, RIP to him. You know what I'm saying? Him and Screw relationship was cool. You know what I'm saying? So. When as of me saying that, it's just, he could, but he it's just something about, like I told you, how he thanked the people for buying his music like that, and he just didn't want to, he'll say he don't want to, but then he'll, like K Reno or call him, you know what I'm saying, he'll go to them, and he'll have a different vibe about the music, because K Reno ain't, you know, he got sense, so that sense, you know, he must motivate him. I remember a couple of times me and Screw went met K Reno, and he was just like on something else different, and then I just understood him, but he wanted to stop it, then he did. He could have went back to Beach like he was doing and cut out everything else, but he couldn't, because there's going to be so many people calling him, and just like they need to do that tape. Mm. They need to do that tape.
It was a lot going on, like that 98, 99, you know what I'm saying? You were saying, like, you know, people were kind of accusing you of, like, Big Roo and, like, the whole mafia thing.
Yeah, that hurt. That took a turn in my life, you know what I'm saying? At that moment, you know, even though I'm human, I'm just not perfect. And that's why it is, and I'm always be me, because I feel like in this world as a man, you got to have hard nuts. If you ain't got that, you know what I'm saying? What you saying ain't going to be the truth to me, you know what I mean? And so that's why he was like, it was too much for him, because what if I did do that? What if I was a part of that and he backing up a liar? You know what I'm saying? That's what he wanted to find out.
Why would people accuse you of that though, assume you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you know, I got a little thing to where, you know, I'm going to stand on it, you know what I'm saying? I ain't just no bully or no bad guy or no monster, nothing like that. It's just, if you mess with me, I'm going to mess with you back. You know what I'm saying? If I feel like I can't win, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that W. At that time, as me and Screw was getting our relationship together, he getting me back right, that was never on my mind. You know, violence and all, fighting and all that, you know what I'm saying? Because fighting, you don't get nothing out of that. Can't win or lose, Mayweather get rich off of that. But anyway, yeah, and that's how it came. At that time, I wasn't even coming outside. You know what I'm saying? I'm dropping my little boy off at school in the morning, picking him up in the evening, taking him to the park. I ain't never did that. You know what I'm saying? Screw had put something on my mind to why I was trying to be a father now. You know what I'm saying? A person. You know what I'm saying? A civilized person, not no fool. You know what I'm saying? So, as this was going, people started ruining him because of me, because everybody getting in trouble, not because of me, you know what I'm saying? Had nothing to do with that, you know what I'm saying? And I told him over and over, leave me alone about that, not, because.
Did y'all have some type of beef or something? Or like, why would, you know what I'm saying? Like,
now, my one of the little artists, I ain't gonna say he was an artist, I took him to Screw House, I feel like, you know, me and him had done a lot of stuff before. But as Screw was changing me, that's what I'ma send back to the youngsters. Now, we're not doing this here. We finna go in here. I'm finna talk to Screw, and y'all gonna be in here on this microphone. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm trying to keep most of them with me so I could vouch for them. Hey, man, them niggas ain't woo. But as it was going, I was going to jail too much, losing contact with the streets. So Screw really don't know them people like I knew them. He feel like if I bring it to them, they just like me. You feel me? But Screw didn't know the crazy side about me like this. So after I had brought it down to him, then he was like, damn. So this nigga was never, hell no. I don't fool with dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get him back together. Woo-woo. He say, well, he said it was like, everybody's not a bad person. You know what I'm saying? So he was getting off into that. And then Fat Pat, Screw had made some shirts of Fat Pat. And a little school, a baby, I think he was in elementary, a junior high. They kicked him out of school for having a Screw shirt on. So now, he really just, he turned up, but he, it's not on no DJ type to me. You know what I'm saying? Now, after they kicked the kid out of school for having on a shirt, that really just turned him into something else, because he started, hey, I seen him with a gun. I'm like, damn, Screw, you a DJ. You know, gangster. He's like, I don't know who to trust. And me and him was the only one right there at that time, so that would let me know that he not saying that I had something to do with it, but everybody had my name in it. You know what I'm saying? So I had explained it to him. Screw, we all watch Juice and Island, because he used to make me watch Juice and Island mother movie. I'd always be asleep. He went on serve then, you know what I'm saying? And I would like be asleep. I can't watch no movie. And then as I go home, sometime I put it in, and I'm like, damn. So I go back, I call Screw. Come out to the studio, go to the studio. And he was still trying to get to me and see where I was, to the point where he was like, damn, I think my kinfolk did do that. You know what I'm saying? Because me and Screw had to the point we wouldn't even answer the calls no more. You know what I'm saying? He'll call me, I won't answer. I call him, he won't answer. Then I end up popping up at the studio. That's when he'll let me know. That was letting me know that now, since I'm just popping up, he really ain't trusting me now. So I had to get back in another way just to let him know. So I think, I can't remember, I think D-Drew was repeating him. D-Drew was doing something and it caught attention of Flip. But Flip had his own crew anyway. But I thought D-Drew had no Flip, but I really didn't know Flip and them like this. You know what I'm saying? I just came home and met them through him. And I'm just watching everybody come in every day, so. As D-Drew was doing his little thing, flipping his little crew, and Screw was entertaining them, these little kids. Like Flip, Scooper Star, couple of J Flex, Youngster. You know what I'm saying? Them type was on the floor. So that let me know, hey, okay. So I said, I'm gonna get myself together. As me getting myself together, yeah, I always have problems in like, I don't know, and then it just one day he just rolled with me, man. And it just, after that he had so much, we went to jail about 5-6 times, fell out the attic, and he still said, fuck him. I said, fuck him too. And after that, everything was just happening, cause he was back on the music now. He was back with the music. Flip was going on, Poker, Zero, Lil O, Grace, Wood, you know, Bottom Boys, of course, you know, they automatic. You know, Kiki, you know, he's gonna always do his thing, you know what I'm saying? So, all of them was in effect. Big Hawk had dropped his album that year. Lil Flip had dropped his little thing, had a beach party, had a beach thing at the beach. That was a big thing for H-Town to me, man. I was really, proud of them guys, man, because where we come from, to at that point, at that year, they were way ahead of their time. You know what I'm saying? A nigga couldn't really, a lot of people didn't relate to that. You know what I'm saying? Listen to that dead end, that DEA. At that year, at that time of the year, that was way ahead of, that was like a big, Biggest Smile album. Now that's an anthem, that dead end. You know what I'm saying? Yo, and I was like, God damn. So yeah, and then Flip did his little thing. And Screw really worked with Flip though. I remember by like four times, Screw had me to take, pack up his turntables. Like, yeah, so then it got to the point to where people started doing crazy stuff and it was falling on him. And it is the same people name, this person here, this person there, this person there. Then everybody mad at 3-2. Everybody mad at this person.
Mad at 3-2 for what?
Because, you know, he was in the car with him.
Right, and got out, right.
And got out, you know what I'm saying? But what I was saying, 3-2, why did you tell Screw I wasn't there? You feel me? Why did a lot of y'all know we? A lot of them knew I didn't even know about it until later. But I'm just saying, why y'all all put me in? So the police come get me, I'm out the way and y'all still free. You know what I'm saying? Who gonna be next? You know what I'm saying? It was just for no reason to me. You know what I'm saying? And then on the other hand, Screw having phone calls and this and that, this and that. This right, like, I explained to you, like, right, and it started like September of 2000. We had repeatedly drinking bad drink. Cause me and him can't use the restroom. And as this was going, I'm steady telling him like, Screw, I'm sick, but then I ain't. He was like, I'm fucked up. So I say, I think, I made it, Screw, I got a cross on my stomach. He was like, what that mean? I say, God ain't gonna let nothing get to me. So he was like, oh, you believe in God? I was like, of course. So he was like, why you act like you act? So I don't know, fam. So he was like, that's good, Chuck, man. I was like, yeah, appreciate it, fam. And so he was like, he said, I see a school, you know, I'm gonna go take the kids to school in the morning. I'll be back after I drop the kids off. So we had did this thing again. So I had eaten up meeting him on South Main. Collared dude, got to drink. We didn't drink that. We had got some more other drink, but we still had that. So we were trying to see what was hurting our stomach. Now after this was going on, Screw had ended up going in the hospital. And I was just so sick. I'm talking about, I was sick. It was just God just wake, just give me extra strength, bro. Cause I tell you, sometimes I don't even remember waking up. You know what I'm saying? I was so high. I'm like, Kyle, Screw, he not answering. And I was just like, fuck it. Sleep for about 4-5 days. Wake up, sleep about another 2 weeks. And it got to the point that it was like right at November the 14th, man, 2000. I came over there after I dropped my baby off, like 3 in the evening at the babysitter. From the babysitter, I went straight to school. So we had that whole day, that night, the 15th of November, like 4:30 in the morning, I had whispered to him, like, Screw, I'm finna burn. But before then, he was like a little boy. He was like a brand new baby. You know what I'm saying? He was working on a documentary and everything. And, you know, he was just like another person. I'm like, damn, that's the Screw I miss. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, fam, I'm back. Man, I end up telling him, man, I was like, Screw, I got to go, man. You know, I got to drop the kids off at school in the morning. And he just gave me that look like, don't go. He said it then. He went on and told me out of his mouth. He said, don't go, Chuck. I said, Screw, I'm trying to tell him. I said, why? People were saying I was doing bad stuff. This is what I've been doing. Dropping the baby off in the morning. In the evening, I pick him up. We'll go to Yellowstone Park, shoot a couple of jumpers, let him see how it is to play with a team instead of me and him and stuff like this. So Screw was like, okay, man. He said, come back for real. I said, Screw, I'm coming back, man. So at meal, I get home, I'm stoned. I'm talking about, I'm out of it. One thing I remember, I fell on the floor and my phone was on the table. And you know, that motherfucker kept ringing. I'm like, really want to throw it out the door. Kept ringing, then I looked, answered the call. Hey man, Screw dead. So I'm like, I heard that so many times by him and Mo. I'm like, threw the phone back down. It just kept on. And I got, man, I'm like, man, what's up? He's like, Screw dead, man. Man, I said, man, I just left there by like 5 in the morning. It was like by like 8:39. I'm like, hell no. He said, yeah, man. He said, get out of here right now. So I flew out to the studio. They didn't want to let me in the door at first, but then, you know, me, you can't stop me on nothing like that. So I tell the loud man, move, go in there. And I was like, where he at? He's like, here and there. So going in here in the restroom, man, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, damn, bro. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Then, you know, I had put it in my mind, like, when I seen him, the average person wouldn't pass away like that. Man, Screw passed away hugging a toilet, man. I'm saying to myself, I had ended up telling my kinfolk, Bub, I was like, man, Screw died hugging a toilet. When you die like that overdose, you gonna fall right there on the spot. You know what I'm saying? He was like, maybe he just made it to the restroom. And he started asking me who was there when I left. I was like, I couldn't think of nobody but Al, LD. That's the only way I can remember. I think my other kinfolk, Chris Cooley, was there too. But, you know, Screw had a couple of seizures before his death when Al was with him. And Al brought him back both times. You know what I'm saying? So when he passed, that's what we thought did happen. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he had a bad heart and other situations, other things too. But, you know, as we at the shop, the dude who worked at the place, at the corner office, he was a fan of Screw. You know what I'm saying? He was like, damn. He said, man, I have something to tell y'all. And, you know, I really want to shake his hand. You know what I'm saying? I know he just got to clean his fam up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling him, let me shake your hand. He was like, why you want to? I said, because you just cleaned them up, right? He was like, yeah. I like, that's why. I said, well, let me shake your hand, man. So he shook my hand. So he tell the family that he was pausing. So I'm pausing. Then I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, it got to be true because the man died hugging the toilet stool. I seen a couple of movies. When people OD, they don't run to no toilet, they just fire right there. So as it was going on, everybody was like, just leave it alone, just put it in God's hand, woo woo. That was cool, but then it's not. Because you got people with rap songs saying, this nigga, this is the reason why he dead. That ain't the reason why he dead, you know what I'm saying? If that was the case, let that ride. But it's not, so he was murdered. You know what I'm saying? So somebody that pardoned him, you don't think he'll pardon somebody else? You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, that's what he would like to tell people. It's nobody you can trust no more. If Screw go to the store, he gonna get that bag and tie that bag up. So if in order you to get in that bag, you have to tear it open. And he'll know if he went in that bag or not. He not gonna drink that. He gonna let, I don't even think gonna let nobody else. He'll throw it in the trash can or pull it out. So I had mentioned that to him. I was like, yeah, I do that a lot myself. He was like, you gotta do that. I was like, yeah, but and as it happened, I'm like, Man, you could have never know who would do nothing like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't never even said about no, not never. I don't think you can, I was always here, screw dive, smoking, swam, and drinking. You know what I'm saying? That, and that fucked me. I ain't gonna lie. I'd be wanting to come show up to whoever said that like that, but they don't know. You know what I'm saying? Them people don't know. That man was murdered. Just like Pimp C. Him and Pimp C had the same stuff in their blood. Matter of fact, R.I.P. to Pimp C. Same thing in their blood. So that's a big thing to this hill, because now it's like what they used to say. You got to get them out the way for you to get have something done. Because this man alive, ain't no orders in this Houston, Texas gonna mess with another DJ. But this man, I don't care who you is, you don't want this man to DJ your shit. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else, and everybody was getting overlooked because they said, before school, y'all were fooling with me. Y'all were fooling with him. Okay, he got, like, somebody put out an album. He wouldn't just go slow it down when it dropped. He gonna wait two to three months or wait till he get, if he can hit platinum status. When he hit platinum status, he gonna flush it. You know what I'm saying? He gonna do his thing with it. But other than that, he never, if like, say for instance, A-Ball or MJG, if they come out with a tape today, he not gonna take no list and do that. He gonna wait till A-Ball and them shit get sold or whatever, wherever. And then that's when he'll do his thing. After that, you know, you had rappers threatening this dude, suing him and everything, because they wasn't making no money. I couldn't, me myself, I couldn't see that at that point, and he couldn't either, because all them records, them wasn't given free. He purchased them. That man had over damn near 100. I mean, I'm exaggerating now. I say about 60,000 albums. I say this is 60,000, could have been more. That wasn't free. You know what I'm saying? So he supported them artists to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of them artists, you'd have never knew if it wasn't on the screw tape. And he always used to talk to rappers that wasn't in the limelight. Like it was a dude from Atlanta. I can't think of his name. But Screw told me, like, just stay doing what you're doing. All you need is one song, one hit, and then you in. That's what happened to dude from Atlanta. I can't think of his name. I forgot his name. But after he went platinum out for a Screw tape. You know, Screw did beats originally. So you got like over 100 of them tapes sitting in that store with original beats that he done. So the dude from Atlanta used one and went platinum. Came back and blessed Screw Gang and told him. And then after Screw passed, he came back to the studio, to the shop on Cutler, blessed the shop, you know what I'm saying? Told him how him and Screw had going on, inspired him to keep on with that rapping. All you needed one song, that's what it did for him. I think he made like 25 million. It was like a little, I forgot the name of that song. A little dude out of Atlanta, man.
What's up, man? Well, man, Chuck, man, I appreciate you coming through, man. Chop it up, man.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. You got anything you want to say before we get up out of here?
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's just the same old stuff, man. Ain't nobody hate, man. You can't hate. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Once you can't deny the truth, man. It's just to everyone else, man, I wish them the best, DJing, rapping, or whatever. I support every rapper in Houston. I don't even fuck you in Northside, Third Ward, Westside. I'ma listen to that. You know what I'm saying? Cause I ain't gonna lie. I was real disrespectful of rappers at one time. Screw checked me about that. Cause he said something about when we supposed to make a tape, he said a certain artist. Hey man, fuck that nigga. He said, don't say that. I'm like, why? He said, don't say that, man, they hustling. They working like we are. And I felt it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never disrespect them people either, whether they lying or not. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker trying to feed their family. You know what I'm saying? It's better than doing that than doing something stupid. Yeah, I represent H-Town to the fullest, though. You know what I'm saying? Come a long way, man. This city come a long way itself. You know what I'm saying? When him coming in with his style and it gave somebody else something to do, that man got damn near everybody in Houston with music doing something else, got something going on to this day, and it's what's up, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's the truth, man. You can't deny it, man. Mm. You know, that man been gone 21 years and that shop still open. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That ain't because the motherfucker sitting at that cash register or nothing like that. That's them people.
Coming in there buying it.
Yeah, that's them people, man. That people that he always told me, man. When I used to bring 30 or 40 people to him, and that nigga say, man, them people like my music like that. Like, yeah, and then when my aunt was getting on him about me being over there, that man went out that door and talked to them people and said, I love them people. I'm like, damn, I love them people too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, that's the kind of dude he was, man. Nigga, you couldn't just go stand and screw and talk to him no 5 minutes. He gonna be there to the, he ain't gonna even leave. You gonna leave. But you gonna make sure y'all got what y'all had to talk about out the way. You know what I'm saying? Because he not gonna leave until you do. You know what I'm saying? That's my nigga, man. Screw you, man.
Already, man. Rest in peace, Screw, man. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast. Chuck. Hey, man, we out of here.